Good morning. Happy Sabbath. It's good to be here with you all. This is the first Seventh-day Adventist church I went into when I first I wasn't even a Seventh-day Adventist. My brother was. And so I used to come up here every weekend, bring my family. I had six children at the time. Used to bring all of them with us and stay with my brother and his wife for a weekend. I don't know how they put up with us, but they did. And yeah, amen. So this was the first Seventh-day Adventist church I ever was in. And let me see, Sharon, where is she? Sharon, you thrilled my heart when I came in and you were singing. What I enjoyed the most, and I could never get in any of our churches that I've attended to do that. You know, they used to have two girls singing up here, singing while people were coming in. And it was just beautiful. And, you know, just a very special time. I have some handouts. Matter of fact, these are prayer request cards. If you have any prayer requests, take a card, fill it out, and give it to me before I leave. These are a prayer calendar for the conferences. Every conference in North American Division, we pray for a different conference every week. If you want one of those, you can have it. Kevin, could you hand these out? Make sure everybody gets one of these. And I got a stack of praying for rain. We want the Holy Spirit to just not only claim this city for you and the surrounding areas, you have to do it through the Holy Spirit. Most of the work that is being done, I'm talking about in the churches, pastoring. I pastored for a while, and I noticed that after a while, you know, if you go visit somebody in the hospital, let's say, I would, I started praying for them ahead of time, but then when I went to visit them in the hospital, I prayed before I went in the hospital for not only that person, but for others and also for the staff, that I could be a witness to them. But after I pastored for so long, I stopped doing that. And I noticed that most of the work that is being done is being done on our own personal time, our own personal way, and not with the power of the Holy Spirit. So there's enough books here for everybody. I'd like you to have one of those. I want to leave this here. If you haven't, have you ever read this? Do you have them? They're very inexpensive. You can get them from Remnant. I know people that have read this book. They're not Seventh-day Adventists, but said this woman is inspired and became Seventh-day Adventist because of this book. You can get them from Remnant. And the theme for the past few years has been houses of prayer everywhere. Churches should be a house of prayer, naturally. Our homes should be houses of prayer, naturally. We should be houses of prayer. We are the temple of the Lord. And we should be houses of prayer. There's some stickers here. If anybody wants them, you can put them on your car or wherever. These are, well, let me, I'm going to leave a lot of this stuff here. These are emails for all the pastors in the conference. If anybody wants a list of those. This is Danny Sheldon's latest pamphlet, After the Storm. These are excellent handouts. You can get them for free. Just call 3ABN. You get them for free. You don't have to pay postage or anything else. And you can get them by the hundreds. There's, I think, 500 in a case, if you want a case. So I'd encourage you to get those. It's great for handing out to house, door to door, whatever you do. And let me see if that's it. I wrote a couple of books. I'm going to leave a set with you on victory over a critical spirit. Like I mentioned earlier, we all have a critical spirit, and it's not what the Lord wants. That spirit came right from the devil himself. And once we realize that we are addicted to criticize and gossip and all of that, a negative attitude, and needs to be confessed as sin, the Lord is going to clean us up of all this before we get into eternity. He's not going to wait till after. Before Jesus returns, he's going to clean us up of every sin. Okay, you got a card that says God, me, spouse, family, church, should be church family, and community. If I don't start my day with the Lord every day, I cannot minister to my spouse. I cannot minister to my family. I can't minister to the church family or the community. It has to start every day between me and the Lord. If it doesn't, I'm crippled. I can't stand before God's people and speak if I had a falling out with my wife and hadn't made it right. I'm crippled if I don't start my day with the Lord. So I want to encourage you to do that. This is card paper. You can put it in your Bible as a bookmark. Okay. I think that's all the commercials. Well, no, I got one more. How did I think of it? I heard many of you during prayer time, one and all, want prayer for your families and children, especially. These are Bible promises that you can claim for your children. And there's about 60 of them that God says, I need copies made. I need to get these back, okay? Earl said he would make copies later. So we're going to get them to you before you go if you want one. If not, you can get them next week or something when you come. But the first verse that we really need to understand, and we'll go there now, to Isaiah 55. And if somebody wants to read that when they get there, is this being recorded, Jim? Okay. Well, I better read it then. Unless you want to bring a microphone up. Isaiah 55. Verse 11. And this is God himself speaking through Isaiah. Isaiah 55, verse 11. God says, so shall my word that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me void. It will accomplish what I please and prosper in the thing for which I sent it. So what God says, he will do. Okay? So once his word goes forth, he will do it. His word already went forth, and he's going to do it. That's why these promises are so important. But you got to understand this verse. Father, your word already went forth. And you promised that you will pour out your spirit on my descendants and a blessing on my offspring. So, God is faithful with his promises. He already said it and he's going to do it. Okay? And there's many promises here. I got a number of those. I only have, I don't want to wake you up, but you can have that one. there's about 60 promises here in these two-sided, and Earl is going to make some of those before I leave here. Okay, the power of prayer. Do we actually understand the power of prayer? We only get a glimpse of, and don't worry, there's There's a half a there's about 10 different sermons in this book, but we're only going to use one page. Okay. The power of prayer. You know, we can communicate with the God of all creation. We can't call the President of the United States and even get through. But the God of all creation is longing for us to speak with him, to come to him, to communicate with him. And how many of us take advantage of that? You know, if the President of the United States said, Earl, come to me. I'm there for you. Whatever you need, just call me anytime you want. We'd be on the phone constantly. Well, the God of all creation is telling us that. Come to me anytime. You got joys? I want to hear about the joys that you... Although I already know them, I want to hear about them. My two grandsons play baseball. They're 11 and 9. And they had a game yesterday and the day before, each one, different age groups. They both hit home runs. I wasn't there. And they call me, Grandpa, you know, I had a home run. And they were all excited about it. You know. Well, and I was excited that they did that. Well, our Heavenly Father is excited when we're excited. He's joyful when we're joyful. But he's also there when we have burdens on our heart and we want to express to him, you know, Father, I'm going through this situation. I know you know all about it, but I just have to unburden my heart to you. And might have a child that is off in a different direction. I have a grandchild that's in prison. I'm going to visit him this evening. But, you know, it was a burden on my heart. He lived with us for a number of years and decided to go in a different direction. And but I know just as the Lord turned me around, he can turn my grandson around. And no matter what direction we're headed, the Holy Spirit, and this is something you want to remember, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, our Heavenly Father, and all of heaven, the angels, and I even think Moses and Enoch and Elijah are there pleading for us too. You know, but all of heaven is doing everything possible to get us there. We have to make the choice. We talked about that in Sabbath school. It's our choice, our decision. Do we really want to spend eternity with Jesus? Do we want to make the decision when we wake up every morning? What type of attitude do I want to have? Do I want to have a miserable attitude? I want to have a joyful attitude. It's our decision. That's why if anyone is lost, we're lost because we have chosen to be lost. The spirit of the enemy in John 10:10, Jesus said, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you can have life and life more abundantly. That's on this earth as well as in eternity. We're going to have life and life more abundantly. Is that what you want? Do you want to live with Jesus throughout eternity? Amen? If not, even though our words may say it, our actions may speak something different. One of my daughters was, this was after I became a Christian, my youngest daughter, she turned 15 or so. She was out there doing everything she wanted to do. She wasn't coming home at night. She was drinking on drugs, smoking, whatever it was. And then when she did come home, it'd be like a battlefield. Where were you? What were you doing? How come you didn't come home? And during one of these episodes, the Holy Spirit touched my life and said, you know, Jim, you're a Christian, but you're not acting like a Christian. And I had to get down on my knees, confess that, turn her over to the Lord. And within, I'm going to say 6 months to a year, she was baptized. I had to get out the Holy Spirit's way. We talked earlier about witnessing to atheists. Let your life shine through. Not so much our words. You can befriend them, you can be with them, you can spend time with them, and eventually the Holy Spirit will touch their lives, because we know the Holy Spirit is going to touch every life. Every human being has got to make a decision for or against Christ. And so we know, I just met two girls yesterday on the way down here in a rest area. They had a flat tire, and there was nothing I could do for them, but they had somebody coming. And I asked I said, are you a Christian? They said, no. They were just young girls. I don't even think they were 20 years old. I said, I'd like to give you one of these. Would you like one? No. So I gave them my card. I said, sooner or later, the Holy Spirit is going to touch your life. And when he does, you got my card, give me a call. And so I gave them each a card. But we can be confident that the Holy Spirit is going to touch each and every life. And that's why we know this sanctuary will be filled. I remember when I used to come here, them doors were open and the people were out there. You must remember that, Ginger. This place was just packed. And the Lord is going to do that again. This church, and I encourage wherever I go, I encourage people that be prepared. You might have to build a sanctuary bigger, whatever, because the Lord is going to send people. And the only thing, we have to be ready for them to come, that he can trust us with his people. And you're going to see all kinds of people come in here. Atheists, used to be. You're going to see prostitutes, drunk alcoholics, all kinds of people are going to come. When I first started on the speaking schedule back in 1980, nobody knew me, and I realized that, and I wanted to see how would people in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, how would they accept me as a homeless person? I didn't have a suit on, you know. Would they accept the same person without a suit if he was... had old clothes wrinkled up. I used to wrinkle up clothes and for a couple of weeks, got them all wrinkled, didn't shave for a few weeks. And I would go to different churches that I was going to speak in. And the first church I went to, and I'm thankful that they greeted me very favorably. And when I used to go for Sabbath school, and just before Sabbath school ended, I already had a place scoped out that I could shave and change. My wife would pick me up about a block away. And the first church was Wellsville. And they had young people. And Paul, and where is he? He's laying down. And Jacob, thank you, Jacob, for your ministry here. You took up an offering. Thank you for doing that. And Brooke, and where's Lacey? She knew I was going to speak, and she left. Well, thank you for your ministry here. You young people are the leaders. And you see, I noticed, let me see, Earl and who else was up? Oh, Corky and myself. See, we all got gray hair, the hair that we got left. So we need young people to come alive and young people and all those others, you know, in between, that the Lord has a ministry for each and every one of us. And you just have to, you know, ask the Lord, you know, what am I good at? What do you want me to do? And the Lord will show you. So getting back to, I just want to encourage you young folks, remain faithful to the Lord. There's a lot of garbage out there. Don't get involved in all that. I was 37 when I became a Christian. For 37 years, I put garbage in my mind. And the enemy is still pushing the buttons to bring all those thoughts and experiences back. The younger you are and you accept Christ, the easier your life will be. Well, in Wellsville, there was a half a dozen people who were very cordial to me. I looked terrible. And when I left the church to go go to the place I was going to change. There was a man that had just pulled up. He had three children, three boys, and he was on the other side of Annie. He was straightening them all out, make sure they looked good for church. And when I walked by, he says, where are you going? I said, I'm going down into town. And he said, why don't you stay? He said, we're going to have a real good sermon. And he didn't know. I never spoke there before. And he said, and we're going to have a dinner. You can stay and eat with us. I said, well, I'll think about it. So I kept on my way. And when I came back, I spoke on James. You know, for which person comes in, you fall all over them, give them the best place. The poor person comes in, you tell them to go sit in the corner or something. And then after the message, I had all those people stand up that greeted me. And the one that invited me to stay and eat, I accepted his invitation. But I've had experiences in Seventh-day Adventist Church that they even barred me from going in the sanctuary and tried to direct me someplace else. But we have to be ready and willing to accept every person the Lord sends through our doors, okay? And I'm glad I had some very beautiful experiences down in Florida and different places. I just want to encourage you that the people that the Lord sends, make sure you reach out to them. Most people, matter of fact, the one experience I had down in Florida, nobody even talked to me. And I was going to leave. But after, I was just impressed to stay. And people think you're not normal, so you can sit here for 5 minutes and then sit over there for 5 minutes and walk up and down because they think you're, don't know what you're, you haven't got it all together. So I was impressed to move from the one seat I was in, and the place was packed. But there was an empty seat, just a few rows up. And I sat down. Prior to this, nobody talked to you, even talked to me, greeted me. And they were one of the churches that tried to keep me from going in the sanctuary. And so I sat down, and they got up to sing a song, and the lady behind me reached over. She gave me a hymnal. She said, here, this is what we're singing now. And then after the worship time and people were being dismissed, one lady touched my shoulder. Oh, no, wait a minute. Before that, after we got done singing, and sat down, the lady in front of me turned around and just touched my hand and said, I'm glad you're here today. Then as they were being dismissed, another lady touched my shoulder and said, I'm glad you came today. The power of touch is so powerful. And I believe that's why the enemy in today's day, you're not supposed to touch nobody. But when I talk to somebody, I touch them anyways. And matter of fact, we're told that endorphins are released when somebody touches you. And so I am not, I don't stand back when I talk to people. And even within the church, we're told, don't touch nobody. But I'm going to do it anyways. Because it just was so meaningful to me when those two ladies just touched me. That they would touch somebody like me as I appeared. And I just wanted to share those experiences. And divine appointments. The Lord, I've come to realize, I shared this in Sabbath school, that that everybody I come in contact with now, I believe the Lord has sent them for a specific purpose for me to be a witness. And not so much with my words, but with my actions. And I I'll just share a couple of them, then I want to get into some Bible verses here. We have folks visiting from Florida a couple months back, and we went to Olive Garden, and we couldn't get a table right away, so we sat down on the benches, and I'm like you, Ginger, I gotta walk, move around. So this couple was here, my wife was here, there was an empty space here, then it was a woman and three children, young woman with three young children, and I'm walking, I didn't sit, talking. And so my wife says, why don't you sit down? And the lady next to her says, yeah, well, there's empty space here, sit down. And so I sat down and started talking with her, about 5 minutes or so, and went into, our table was ready, went in. And then I thought, on the way walking to the table, I never asked her if she was a Christian. Her name is Christine. And usually I carry on a conversation with anybody. Eventually I get to that question. So I went back out, and I said, Christine, are you a Christian? She said, yes, I am. So I said, well, I own a Christian radio station, and I gave her my card. She said, do you have a prayer list? I said, yes. She said, would you put my daughter, 7 years old, she was right there, would you put her on the prayer list? I have to take her to Philadelphia tomorrow. And we were over in the Buffalo area. Have to take her to Philadelphia tomorrow for a back operation. She has scoliosis, curvature of the spine, and they're going to operate on her tomorrow. So I said, sure. I said, write it down, and we'll be praying for her. And I realized while she was writing, we could pray right now. I didn't have to wait till, another time. So she got her family together, and we prayed. And then when we left, my wife had also met her, so we stopped at her table, and my wife let her know that we'd be praying for her daughter. Her daughter's name is Gracie Lynn. And then I remembered I have this picture that I gave one to Emma, if you get over to see her. It's a operating scene, but it has the Lord guiding the doctor's hands. And so I said, I got this picture, but you're taking her tomorrow, and I won't be able to give you this picture. And she said, take a picture of it and send it to me on my cell phone. That's the first time I realized how great cell phones are. And so I did that, and she just texted me back, I just love it. And then I called her. They were down there for a week and was talking with her, and she told me the operation went well. And then she said, I want you to talk to my husband. And so I did, and he says, his name is Frank. He said, Jim, when Christine left for the restaurant that day, she was just nervous. She was, just could not, anxious, and because of the operation the next day. He said, but when she came back home, she was just on cloud nine because the Lord sent somebody to pray with her. And these divine appointments the Lord sets up. Last week we had other people from Florida. I had to pick them up at the train station. And they were supposed to be in at 2:30. Then they told me they wouldn't be until 3:30. So I went later. And when I got there, I'm inside, and I notice a woman outside all by herself. And so I went out and was talking with her, and she was very reluctant to even talk, but I was just impressed to pursue it a little bit. And so she eventually told me she was traveling from Florida to Chicago to New York City, and she was on her way to New York City. So I talked with her a while, and I asked her, are you a Christian? And she said yes. Reluctantly, she said yes. And so I said, well, let me pray for you while you're traveling. And she was thrilled to hear that. So we prayed together and then talked for about 2 or 3 more minutes. She said, I want to share something with you that I think you would enjoy. She said, I went to Oakwood College, which is a Seventh-day Adventist college. And I said, you're a Seventh-day Adventist. She said, yes. And so we shared a lot more then. But I could understand her reluctance of some strange guy coming up, especially in this day and age, to, you know, to carry on a conversation. But the Lord has, and if I would have been there at 2:30, like it was supposed to be, would have missed that divine appointment. The Lord had this divine appointment all set. So all these opportunities are before us. We just have to be aware of them. Okay, prayer should start with praise. Okay, and after that, confession of sin. And after that, claiming the promises. Isaiah 55:11. My word, once it goes forth, it will not return to me void. It will accomplish what I please and prosper in the thing for which I've sent it. But Father, your word already went forth through your servant John. You said, if I confess my sins, that you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sins. So Father, thank you. I have confessed. Thank you for your faithfulness and justice and mercy to forgive me. But Father, you said you would cleanse me from all my unrighteousness. Father, I put filth in my mind for 37 years. You said you would cleanse it. So cleanse my mind. Then in Isaiah 54, the last part of verse 17, Isaiah, with the Lord speaking, said, because you are my servants, your heritage, our heritage as God's servants, is that our righteousness is from him. So he emptied us of our unrighteousness, fills us with his righteousness. And then in James 5:16, I could never understand, how can I ever claim this promise? It says, the fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Did you ever wonder how you could claim that promise? Did you ever wonder when you're righteous? I always did. You know, Father, when could I claim this? And then he revealed to me in Isaiah 55, or in 54:17, that our righteousness is from him. So, Father, it's, you know, I'm claiming this verse, that the prayers of a righteous man avail much. And it's not my righteousness, Father. It's your righteousness that I'm claiming this promise. Then you can lay out your petitions before the Lord. Lay out your joys. Lay out everything before the Lord. And he promised that he would fulfill, you know, his word. We have to just be faithful and obedient to him in order to claim the majority of promises. Then you can go and ask for the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in Luke 11:13, that if you want the Holy Spirit, I'm more willing to give you the Holy Spirit than you are to give good gifts to your children. And he said, all you got to do is ask my Heavenly Father. So you ask, and then, matter of fact, verse 10 says, ask and you'll receive, seek and you'll find, knock and it'll be opened to you. Father, I'm asking for the Holy Spirit. I'm seeking, asking, knocking on your heart's door. Please, I need the Holy Spirit. And not just me, Father, but on my Father's household. When you claim promises like that for the Holy Spirit, and give the Lord permission, surrender yourself every day. And whatever it takes, Heavenly Father, get me into eternity. I give you permission to do that. But you can also give him permission for your family. Heavenly Father, through the Holy Spirit, please, whatever it takes, save my father's household. And when I became a Christian, my youngest child was 9. My oldest one was 16. Already through the years of influence I could have had on them in a spiritual way. And So in the past, maybe 10 years, I've been just turning them over to the Lord and saying, you know, to the Holy Spirit, whatever you have to do to save my children, save them. And I want to share one thing with you. I had, and I also prayed, you know, whatever you have to do to save my children. But Father, if there's any children that I'm not aware that I have, please save them too. And just recently, within the past 6 months, maybe 8 months, a man contacted me from North Carolina, and through Ancestry.com, my granddaughter got on there. She didn't know who her father was, so she got on and trying to find her father, and she did. Well, this man turned up in part of her DNA, and so found out. I thought it was one of I got seven brothers, so I thought it was one of their children, but it turned out to be my son. But I've been praying for him unbeknownst all that time. Anyways, so it was nothing really catastrophe. It wasn't a catastrophe to know that he was my son. And he's 46, he's very well off. But the only thing I regretted was I had to put my wife through that again. But, you know, the Lord blessed me with a saint. People that knew me before I was a Christian used to ask me, how's the saint? They would never call her by name. They would never say, how is Joanne? They'd say, how's the saint? How's the angel? And unbeknownst to me at the time, with my lifestyle, I didn't see the blessing until after the Holy Spirit touched my life. Then I could see the blessings of a powerful spiritual mate. And I want to encourage you. You know, the things that I experienced, my wife never once threw it up to my face during the time, even after the time. Never once did she say, Jim, you did this, and Jim, you did that. Well, you know, if we get a discussion about stuff, yeah, what you did, and you did, and, you know, so I want to encourage, you know, couples that never bring up the past. Live for today, live in today, and in the future. Jesus is doing everything possible to bring us into eternity with him. And all things, you know, if we keep bringing up, hashing over the past, matter of fact, Paul says in Philippians, I think it's let's turn there. Philippians 3, it is. Philippians 3:13. And 14 says, brethren, do not, are we there? Philippians 3:13-14. This is Paul speaking. Brethren, I do not count myself to have already apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forward to the things that are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And Isaiah says the same thing in chapter 43, verse 18. Forget the past. We can't do nothing about the past. Press on, keep your eyes on Jesus Christ to take you into the future and into eternal life. Amen? Amen. All right. Let me see, I'm looking out here. I only see one smiley face. Two. Must be other people that are happy to be in church on the Sabbath. Luke, okay, you know, we should be happy Christians. You know, no matter what happens to us around us, we should still be happy and joyful because we know the end of the story. We know that God's faithful people will walk into eternity when Jesus returns. You know, Buffalo Bills, I really don't watch a lot of their games, and if I do watch, it's the last 5 minutes because that determines if they're going to win or lose. They could be winning through the whole game, and the last 2 minutes, they lose the game. So I know the end of the story in a football game. If I watch a rerun, which I don't, but if I would watch a rerun, it would still turn out the same. Buffalo loses. And no matter how much they ahead during the beginning, so we know the end of the story. God's people win, the enemy loses. Whenever the enemy comes up against Christ, he loses, Jesus wins. We're Christians. We know the end of the story. God's people win. So never head in a different direction. Stay, keep your focus on Jesus Christ, and he will get you into eternity. I want to share just a couple more thoughts here. Psalms, this showed me two ways to pray. Psalms 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Claim that promise, the whole thing. Father, Heavenly Father, I want to delight myself in the Lord. Please make that possible. And thank you that you will give me the delight, desires of my heart. God wants to, can you look back at your life and see how every step of the way the Lord gave you the desires of your heart? You know, I never had any great desires, but God always gave me the desires of my heart. And then Psalms 21, verse 2, and this is David wrote both these Psalms. This showed me two ways to pray. David was given the desires of his heart and also the request of his lips. So the desires of our heart are those very personal things that we want to present to the Lord. And the requests of the lips are for, like, other things that, you know, if you want to intercede for somebody. And that, or if you there's something going on that you need to, you know, present to the Lord. Like the prayer requests we made today. Then we're all, there's mixed some with the desires of our heart and also the requests of our lips. And the Lord is more than willing to listen and to respond. Let me just see. The main thing we as Christians need to do, you've heard the statement, united we stand, divided we fall. Very true statement. When church is united in harmony with each other, just like on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out. Wasn't poured out until they came in harmony and unity. We can pray for that. That's what the Lord wants to do. And as we minister to the community, don't forget to minister to each other. And, you know, I went through three times now when the church was united and a Christ-like spirit, God sent people. When they started fussing and moaning and groaning against each other, complaining, people left. I've seen that happen three times. Be united not only with Christ, but with each other. And you will see miracles happen. We serve a miracle-working God that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God bless you as you keep going forward. Father, we are so, so thankful that you are so concerned about us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you're doing everything possible to bring each and every one of us into eternity. And Father, I just want to present this church family to you. Father, I'm going to ask that each and every one that wants to follow you right into eternity, that we raise our hands to you. We are thankful, Father, that you're doing whatever is necessary. We thank you for the Holy Spirit and Jesus, your willingness to allow your Son to come here, and even though you knew how we were going to treat him. We love you, Heavenly Father, and Jesus, and Holy Spirit, and we're thankful for your angels that minister to us. You see the upraised hands. And Father, if there is one that did not raise their hand, I just ask that you don't give them peace or rest day nor night until we all walk right into eternity together. We're asking in the powerful, mighty name of Jesus. Amen.